It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For months, abortion was seen as a key issue in the 2024 November election.
Vice President Kamala Harris repeatedly held campaign stops and ran advertising on her stance on reproductive rights, telling Wisconsin Today in September that she would abolish the Senate filibuster to pass legislation codifying abortion access into law.
But former President Trump took Wisconsin and other swing states Tuesday, raising questions about voter sentiment and the importance of abortion policy as an issue for voters.
Alyssa Von Hagel is a professor in the Social Inquiry Department at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Her research focuses on reproductive rights and abortion policy. Alyssa, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alyssa, I want to start with something we don't really have in Wisconsin, these citizen-backed referenda we saw in states around the country. 10 states had measures to expand abortion access on the ballot. 7 passed, including some conservative states, Missouri and Montana. Florida, it fell short of a 60% threshold, but still majority support there. Nebraska had 2. They actually voted to codify restrictions on abortion. Okay. Put that all on the hopper. What do you make of what you saw around the country in those referenda?
I mean, I think overall we do see success for these reproductive rights measures. As you noted, there were a few, that didn't pass. The one in Florida received over 57% of the vote. So clearly, again, just 3% short of that threshold. But clearly, even in a state that is known for being conservative on the issue, we see that a majority of the citizens wanted those protections. The other failure in South Dakota is one of the states that has no protections for reproductive rights in the states and has been conservative on the issue for really for most of the state's history. And so I think, but overall, regardless of those few exceptions, we see that voters are working to expand or maintain access to reproductive care.
I'm not the first to point out that in some of these states, Florida and Missouri, clearly there are some people who voted in favor of abortion access, of reproductive rights, but vote for politicians who, for the most part, oppose expanding those restrictions. What does that tell us about voters? One thing that leaps to mind is, hey, maybe we don't see those single issue voters on abortion that people might have expected.
Correct. And also, when voting for candidates, people obviously evaluate candidates in their totality. And so there could have been other issues that were of greater concern, had greater salience for voters than abortion. Certainly since the ruling in Dobbs has been, a few years out, it may not have the immediate importance in voters' minds that it did perhaps immediately following the ruling, or again, other issues such as the economy or immigration just simply was a priority for voters that abortion politics just simply couldn't match.
Bringing things to Wisconsin now, we don't have that kind of ballot measure on abortion access here, but many Democratic candidates, including U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin with a narrow win, Kamala Harris with a narrow loss in the state, congressional candidates and others really did focus on that abortion issue. As you sift through results, how do you think abortion policy affected Wisconsin this election cycle?
It is hard to say, of course, with the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreeing to take up a challenge to the law that essentially invalidated access to reproductive care in the state. It may not have been as of great importance or concern for voters because of anticipation of the court ruling on this particular measure. Also, again, I think, as we saw nationwide, that there are other issues that drove people to vote for a particular candidate or to not vote for a particular candidate. And reproductive rights may not have been the, most salient or important issue that drove voters to the polls.
Alyssa Von Hagel is with us from UW-Superior, looking at reproductive rights and abortion issues in this week's election. Vice President Harris conceded officially yesterday afternoon in a speech, but she called on supporters to organize for more reproductive rights in the future. Here's a listen.
Where the women of America have the freedom to make decisions about their own body and not have their government government telling them what to do.
The election is over. This issue continues to remain a big one. Alyssa, what are you watching for next when it comes to laws and rules on abortion access in the United States?
Well, I think there's a number of important things to watch. First of all, in upcoming election cycles, it will be interesting to see if other states initiate initiatives, proposals, amendments, or changes to the state constitution to either expand, maintain, or even retract reproductive rights. The trend seems at this point towards states wanting to, at the very least, maintain, if not expand, access to reproductive rights. But that will be important to watch in the coming years. Also of importance is what happens in Congress. There's been some discussion of federal laws that are bills that would either legislate protections for or restrictions on access to abortion nationwide. So it'll be interesting to see what comes forward on this issue in the upcoming session of Congress.
And Alyssa, I want to focus on that federal issue for a bit, because I think since Roe v. Wade was overturned, a lot of people thought, OK, this is a state's issue now. There have been calls from some people, conservative groups organizing the agenda for a new Trump presidency, saying, hey, let's take this 1800s law, the Comstock Act, and use it to restrict the distribution of abortion medications. Then Senator, now Vice President J.D. Vance, signed a letter in 2023 saying, yes, the Department of Justice should crack down on this. The FDA should make that clear. Are you watching for potentially executive action from the White House under this argument that they don't even need empowering legislation from Congress?
It is definitely something to watch for. And if they were to pursue that approach, I think they would very quickly find that it would be immensely unpopular, not just with the electorate as a whole, but even amongst Republican or conservative voters. Also, again, whether or not they would be able to effectively implement such a measure, the threat or even discussion of such a measure may spur members of Congress to introduce restrictions on, say, medication abortion or other forms of reproductive care that aren't quite as stringent but still restrict access.
Then zooming back in on Wisconsin, you've mentioned the current state of the court back and forth over this 1800s law in Wisconsin. The current status from one judge is that law is not in effect. So those very severe limits on abortion, they're not in place. Going to end up at our state Supreme Court. Hold on. It has a liberal majority today. There is an election coming up that could conceivably flip that majority. The state of affairs and abortion law in Wisconsin are in flux. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. I think that that is the perfect way of characterizing the issue today in Wisconsin.
And do you see this being an issue? Well, let's stay with that state Supreme Court race. I assume this is going to be a big issue in that court race coming up early next year.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw in the previous Supreme Court race that for really one of the first times in Wisconsin and even across the nation, we see that the issue of abortion playing a central role in an election, which, again, is up until this point had really been exceptionally rare. So I fully anticipate that it would absolutely remain the case in the upcoming election as well.
And then I know people probably have election fatigue. They don't want to talk about 2 years from now. But 2 years from now, Attorney General, Governor of Wisconsin, and of course, the state legislature up for grabs. In addition to the influence the Supreme Court could have with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, a legislature, a governor, if they ended up in same party control, could really set the agenda for abortion laws in the state. Do you expect to see that being front and center in those races?
There's no reason to think otherwise. You know, as long as the issue remains in flux, as you mentioned, it remains the case that people will be spurred to action, to vote, to campaign on the issue. And so I think that it's certainly, you know, outside of a, you know, definitive court ruling or, you know, action by the legislature that very clearly addresses the issue, it will remain a political issue for, you know, the future in Wisconsin.
We've talked about the Democratic strategy of hitting the abortion issue. On the Republican side, it's been interesting. In his first race for president, president-elect Trump had said, hey, he would appoint Supreme Court justices who would overturn Roe v. Wade. He did that. In this race, at a couple points, he said he's a friend of reproductive rights, seemed to be backing away from that issue. What are you watching for from Republicans?
We saw that approach amongst many Republicans, in that it's clear that voters, even in more conservative or red-leaning states, are supportive of, you know, access to reproductive care. And so Republicans have been walking back their previous stances, either focusing on late-term abortions or on arguing for states' rights on the issue. So clearly they're aware that there is widespread support for some measure of protecting access to reproductive care.
Very briefly, Elisa, gender gap in Republican versus Democratic voters. Briefly, what are you watching as you sift through the numbers?
It'll be interesting to see how age plays a role in that gender gap. We know going into the race that there is not quite a strong gender gap in voting with respect to young men, whereas it's quite large when we look at younger women. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out with voters of different age categories.
Elisa, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
That's Elisa von Hagel, professor in the Social Inquiry Department at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Her research focuses on reproductive rights and abortion policy.